We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, everybody.
We are the Pettiest Bills Podcast.
I'm not bright enough for all of that.
Drew Gator.
Because I thrive off negativity, it's just more hackery from a charlatan and a carpetbagger.
The Rock Pile Report.
My blood pressure's rising.
He gave him Coors at banquet beers out of spite.
The Pettiest, Hardest Drinking Bills Podcast.
I'll go to hell and back just to prove a point. Everybody to another edition of the Rock Pile Report podcast. I'm your host, Drew Gear, Buffalo Bills season ticket holder. That's my producer, Chris Krueger. In studio with us tonight, WGR 550 Snake Eerie, wearing a vest and a hat.
Dork thinks he's going to drown.
And we are here talking about the 2024 wide receiver class of the NFL draft. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't say a word for the Mark Schofield who couldn't be here tonight. God bless him. Him and his. Guys, can we have a toast? Thoughts and prayers.
Don't drink that yet, but yeah.
Thoughts and prayers for everybody out there. Cheers. Now, pick up
your cock.
Fill your hand.
This is the naked old fashioned.
I feel like this is Tombstone. Fill your hand, sir.
Oh, so now we're trying it? We're doing that right now?
Yeah.
Trying it? Okay.
This is the Nate Geary, according to Chris, old-fashioned. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. A little rip to it.
Now, Nate, since each episode that we've done covering each position group has been an old-fashioned done in the way of our guest and where they are from. So this is a Field & Sound Bottled & Bond bourbon. Whenever you come over here, it is your go-to cinnamon syrup. And
that's what that's I why used, I was like, that's what that is. It's cinnamon.
I used a Turkish tobacco bitters with a kicker. Drew, you would know this from being a chef. Is if you're making a steak, you gotta have salt. Salt brings out some of the flavors.
Sure.
If you're not doing a cocktail with saline solution, you're doing it wrong. Not only saline solution.
It does open up the beverage a little bit.
I made my wife cry, so we have leftist tears in the cocktail. In the cocktail.
See, I thought you were going to go somewhere else. I thought you were saying your future child was in here, but I'll take tears instead.
Leftist
tears.
Yeah. This isn't terrible.
It's fantastic. I thought you said if it was from where I'm from, I assumed it would have been like rusty bits from Bethlehem Steel or something.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, like, this is a Lackawanna Lakeview.
Yeah.
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't.
Are
I
you?
I don't
are,
get bourbon.
Do you hail
specific.
From the? So it's Lakeview for you, right?
No, it's Hamburg. But it's like.
Wait. What part of Hamburg?
It's like
the frontier part.
Yeah, I grew up off of Bayview Road, Big Tree. So like right there. Like so, basically right. By the lake. Basically, smack dab between St. Francis and Frontier is right around where I grew up.
Were you a Franny's guy?
I wish. I tried to be.
I
tried to be so badly. And every time I, you know, when I'm in public or I see old friends and with my dad a lot, I would say, you know, my dad just didn't want me to succeed as an athlete. So, and then my dad will say something like, no, I didn't want you to be a fancy boy or something, you know. And, but I have a lot of friends that went to St. Francis. Most of the kids I grew up playing football with all went to St. Francis, except for me. I went to public school, ran triple option, and had a lot of concussions. So
what I love is that he didn't want you to grow up to be a fancy boy, and yet here you are.
A fancy boy.
You're a fancy boy. Mm-hmm. Chris, sometimes you can't unfancy the boy,
that's
right?
That's what they've said.
That's what they say. That's what they say.
Yeah.
So, guys, as we sit here and talk about wide receiver draft, there's a million podcasts with people much smarter than me who have already told you everything you need to know about all of the particular characters involved with the NFL draft. I'm not going to ride their coattails or pretend to be them or... Chris, that's just not our jam, is it?
No.
Instead, and maybe it's because we were talking to Bruce Nolan earlier tonight, it's just the concept, like, hey, I'm going to be talking to him. We're going to get into these philosophical conversations. I want to take a more philosophical look at how the Bills could and maybe should address the wide receiver position.
Sure.
So with that, when you take a look at the class, now – I think it was the guys over at Cover One, your friend, the Lorax, Steve Mathis. It doesn't matter.
No one's name is Mathis. That's a made up name.
It doesn't matter.
Sure. is that not your boy? Is that like a, you guys have like a faux thing? You guys like?
No, we've had some Twitter beefs before.
Dude, Twitter beefs are stupid.
But
social media.
I don't know, Steve. Well, we've actually never.
Of course. I don't mind Steve.
We've never spoke face to face.
Oh,
and when I say face to face, I mean Zoom. I'm open to that idea, but
you should. We've gotten into it all the time. I've had to mute him before.
Well, yeah,
but I still like him.
Of course, you guys do. The problem is that we don't do that. So then I'm just as offensive as possible until someone really gets upset.
You digress.
What I'll say is that he had a really good tweet the other day about the concept that this class, that while this class is talked about as being quote unquote historically deep, it's historically deep at the top.
This is fucking good, dude.
In the sense that there's more wide receivers regarded as top 60 picks than probably ever have been before in a draft. And if you know anything about positions, it's like when you say that these guys are first-round grades and these guys are second-round grades, some of those guys will inevitably, because of jumpy GMs, team needs, whatever the case may be, will inevitably shuffle their way up the board and unfortunately push other players down the draft board.
That's right.
So what we're talking about here is an influx of wide receiver talent in the first 2 days of the draft that probably will be unprecedented.
But there's a lot of talent that'll be there day three, too.
And this is where it's like, look, the depth of this class is going to be the same, regarded the same as it has been year after year after year. And yet to say that you can't find successful picks there is to kind of forget about the Khalil Shakirs of the world. You know, he's just 2 years into his NFL career. Last year, he had the highest catch percentage of any wide receiver in the NFL who qualified for stats. That's crazy.
He was quite good.
Yeah. Chris, we were tracking it week over what felt like during the season, week over week. As we'd go through the stats, it was like at an alarming rate, almost 70% of his catches went for first downs. That's not a typical trait of a wide receiver. You go, oh, well, I have a lot of numbers, but holy shit, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a fifth round pick. Why? Scheme matters. You know, we just got done talking to Bruce about how scheme matters and everything is fluid. But at the same time, at the top of the draft, things are going to be fast and furious with this wide receiver class. And that's where every fan's attention is kind of focused. Oh my God, like you for some reason still choose to go in there and put the cans on. And sit there on the radio and listen to Vince from Lackawanna call in and give you his opinion.
Yeah, and they thought the Bills should really do, trade up and then go ahead and trade back and
Troy Franklin will be there, right? At 19, Troy Franklin is going to be there.
It's always there. It's never there.
Yeah, there.
There. He'll be there.
He'll be there.
And you do it with aplomb because I couldn't do that.
I enjoy it.
Chris actually like it. Forbade us from doing live podcasts when we first started because he goes, I know you. You'll just slaughter every single person who has a stupid opinion, which is most rare.
Could you
callers.
Imagine us doing no. a live call-in style show?
I would. It would be very, very, very entertaining, but no, I couldn't imagine it.
So with that in mind, I love the fact that you go out there and have these conversations. And what's even better is that
sometimes I regret it.
Tonight, as I was getting in the truck to drive over here for tonight's recordings, you were on WGR 550 having a conversation about the wide receiver draft class.
Yeah.
And it riled up Jeremy White so much he was like, someone get the Stone Cold Steve Austin music.
Can I tell you a funny thing? After I was done with the segment, I walked back into the producer room. I had my backpack and stuff in there. And I walked back into the producer, and Zach Jones, who was the producer,
yeah.
said, Jeremy tried to convince me. He was like bribing me, convincing me that I needed to play the Stone Cold Steve Austin music and let him interrupt the segment while I was convincing people. Not necessarily convincing people, but just saying like, hey, I don't think that there's not just a one way to get better at receiver, like especially if the draft board falls the way that it could, that the Bills might be the last, you know, there might not be any seats left. And do you just want to reach to reach? And listen, do you have Zoom? Can you zoom in on with these new cameras?
You're zoomed in.
So you no more. You can't zoom in anymore.
You're zoomed in very
right.
well.
This is, I want to send a message to my friend, Jeremy, who's a good friend of mine. I mean, I've worked with him for a long time. We do Buffalo Bills pregame together. Are you guys familiar with Andy Kaufman?
Yeah.
You're familiar with Andy Kaufman?
Of course.
And you're familiar with the story about Jim Carrey
yep.
doing and playing Andy Kaufman in a movie early in Jim Carrey's career.
Yes. And, Man in the Moon.
Man in the Moon.
I love that movie.
Oh, God, hold on. Oh, God, something was in my throat. Anyway, sorry. You're familiar with the movie then, listeners. If you're not, Andy Kaufman was a very interesting comedian and very eccentric and crazy. And Jim Carrey played him in a movie called Man on the Moon. And Jim Carrey became obsessive and completely immersed in character, where even after, you know, cut, he was Andy Kaufman, like, and literally lost himself in character. And it became a thing. Like, I heard Dave Chappelle talk about this. Like, he met Jim Carrey on the set, and all the producers said, don't call him Jim Carrey. Call him. He's like, this is the first time I'm meeting Jim Carrey. You're going to make me call him Andy Kaufman. And they made Dave Chappelle introduce himself and call him Andy.
Wow.
Because he was so immersed and obsessed and into this character that he could not break. Jim Carrey talks about this as a defining moment, not just in his life, but his career, saying that like it took him months to disspunge himself of this character. And where I'm going with this is, Jeremy, you've lost it. You have gone so far that you are one with the wide receiver train. Like, he has become Andy Kaufman. He's Jim Carrey.
And all of a sudden he took a seat and then was like, this is nice.
He is Jim Carrey. And the wide receiver train is Andy Kaufman. And he has gone full immersed, can't get himself, can't break his bit. He has gone off the deep end for a bit. And this is why, A, he's an entertaining person, but B, that as your friend, I would like to just tell you that the first step to, you know, recovery is admitting you have a problem. And you sir, are an addict of the wide receiver train. And this is what I said today. I said this afterwards is, you know, then he started using golf analogies at me. He's like, oh, it's like pulling out a 6-iron at a 280-yard par 4 instead of hitting the driver and trying to drive the green. I was like, but what if I still birdie from the middle of the fairway because I hit a 6-iron? He's like, yes. But I eagled. And I was like, Jeremy, I've watched you play golf, bro. You did not eagle. I promise you don't eagle. Okay? But I think that there's all these sayings you could do. You know, there's multiple ways to skin a cat. Blah, 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 blah. I am not
I am of the wide receiver train. I am just sitting in coach comfortably on a cheap ticket. I have not gone all in. I haven't spent thousands of dollars on a first class ticket with, you know, corresponding dining and free drinks. I just have decided that the Bills need to get better at receiver, and I'm open to whatever route the Bills take to do that, whether that's trading back, whether that's not taking a receiver because it is too much of a reach at 28, and Worthy and A.D. Mitchell. And the Bills have been a victim of runs on wide receivers for the last two seasons, maybe three. But I do, one thing I
except
do really...
except for the year they traded up for one.
Right. But here's what I'll say is here's one area I wholeheartedly agree with Jeremy, and whether I think he's crazy and stuck in a bit, which he is, he is right that this scenario, this situation is a product of their own doing. They have not addressed the position with enough consistency year after year in the draft to have stockpiled or have had a stockpile of players that could withstand losing a player like Stephon Diggs. So now they find themselves in a position where you have to pick at 28 a wide receiver. But I still don't believe that they have to pick a player there, because every GM, every scout, anybody that does this for a living will say the same thing. And whether you think it's cliche, whether you think it's the towing the company line or not, is that when you become a prisoner of a position, when you start drafting out of need and necessity and desperation, that is when you start to pick players that should not be drafted in that position. And if the Bills find themselves in another run of receivers and five, six receivers are off the board, and that may sound crazy because of how many other great positions there are. That may sound crazy. I saw a mock draft today of Matt Verderam of SI, who had five quarterbacks going in the top 12, six quarterbacks going in the top 12. Holy shit, would that be fantastic for the Bills, because that means some seriously good receivers. That means Brian Thomas Jr. might be in the early 20s, where maybe you can bump up a little bit. Listen, I love Malik Nabers. I love Roma Dunze. The idea of the Julio Jones trade is not applicable to me for this team at this in this current situation.
Of course.
Because they are not the Atlanta Falcons when they did that move.
No, exactly. And so there's a couple things. First of all, I think that there's this idea that you guys who talk about this every single day, I love the relationship you have with your coworkers and the fact that you can do this and come out here and espouse all of this and kind of clarify your previous points. I just think that all of you get way into this. And if you're trying to be draft agnostic like I am,
do you mean draft agnostic? You don't like the you.
I don't understand.
There are multiple drafts that you're not all in the NFL draft.
I've been hurt by the NFL draft so many times that I prefer to ask people what they think and then take that and kind of take my own opinion and go, okay, where do I feel, but also what do they think? And I'm going to make my decision right up until the final day. I still don't have – there's nothing I'm dug in on. I'm not Mac and Always Sunny in
Philadelphia.
I'm
dug in, and I'll never change.
I
Rock Flag and Eagle, right, Charlie?
Dude, Rock Flag and Eagle. So with this in mind, I watch this fluid wide receiver landscape, and I think
science is a liar sometimes.
Sometimes.
Galileo, because he was a stupid bitch.
I literally gave it. I sent that gift to my wife the other day because she pointed out something a long time ago, and I don't forget because I'm petty.
And her leftist tears.
And then it got. She's not a leftist.
Oh.
And it got pointed out that the thing she thought was wrong, and I just sent her thing plus that gif. I was like, when he just slaps it on Gillian, and it just says a sticker that says bitch.
Science is a liar sometimes.
Sometimes. So realistically, everybody has these wants.
Mm-hmm.
We think we know. Vince from Lackawanna thinks he knows. The people who call in, Chris, you used to take radio callers. You know what it is to have to sift through that nonsense?
Well, if you're smart, you would. When I don't know,
you lie about what you're going to talk about.
Well, no, I don't know if your producers do this. Is so when a call screener takes a call and says, hey.
Caller.
Caller. What's
first
your
name?
First name.
Where are you from?
Where are you from? And then you go,
what do you want to talk about?
What do you want to talk about? And then as you're typing what they want to talk about, because they might get long-winded, and then you just go, caps lock, don't take this call.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That happens a lot. Yeah, that happens a lot. See, but that's, if you are a veteran caller-inner, you know that you give them the you give them the company line. Yeah, you know, I just wanted to talk a little bit about Josh Allen and you know, kind of what, and then you go, Nate, oh, I'm from, and then we cut you off, and then you drop the F bomb, right? You're like, oh, Nate, you're a fucking loser. Remember that time you talked about JV football?
So my thing was, my favorite was calling in the night after we lost to Cincy, after hearing some of the callers that night, and I was like, I gotta save Nate, but I know how to do it. I go, I'm calling in because I want to talk to Nate about 12 personnel usage. Okay. And I was like, just, and then I sent him a text. I said, take the call, you coward.
So you know what's funny is I get, during the postgame show, which again, I want to just go and tell everyone that the postgame is my favorite.
There's a reason. And for those of you out there on YouTube who are like, oh, they're not getting to the thing. No, no, no. There's a reason I'm laying the groundwork for something. So shut the fuck up.
Yeah, like relax. We've got 2 hours. Chris just fucking shot himself in the face. What happens is, especially after a particularly volatile game, let's talk about week one. Let's talk about the final game of the year. I'll have buddies texting me like, yo, like, you know, put me through. Let me just go out for anyone listening or friends sure. that text me during a show. I have no control over what my producer will allow or won't allow. And my buddy, what's his persona? Is it Keith from Kaisertown?
He picks one. He picks new ones. But you hit him call.
Keith from Kaisertown, I'm pretty
sure.
You
should tell him he should change it to Drew from North Collins.
Drew from North Collins.
He should call it as me.
Is Drew from North Collins. I have no control with the producer. But
I used to guilt Ryan Gates into putting me on the air. I'd be like, dude, remember when you were hanging out in my backyard? You used to ice skate with me and my brothers.
By the way,
did
you hear that Ryan Gates won an all-inclusive trip to the draft?
Yes.
Yeah. From the Bills.
That guy.
Sabres.
This guy is an
asshole. He sucks.
I have to tell you the story. This is a very important story to get out of the way, and I just have to tell it. I'm sure you've heard it, but maybe you've heard it before. You guys have heard when Mike Schoep hung up on Terry Pegula?
No.
Holy have you guys heard the story?
Shit. No.
No.
Okay. All right. Let me tell the story. This is the last. Do you guys remember The Hobby on Saturday mornings?
Yeah.
When Mike would do Saturday mornings. Okay. So this was the last episode of The Hobby. Mike was done. He just didn't want to do it anymore. And this was my first Saturday morning shift as producer. The phone, let's just say at 7 a.m. on a Saturday for The Hobby, the phone isn't lighting up. Okay. It's not lighting up. So where you are, it's 7:52. We are on the last 2 minutes. And so for
the break,
we're up against the break, right? And 7:52 lights up. Answer. Okay, whatever. And, you know, it wasn't Terry. It might have been Terry. It was like Terry from Buffalo. And it's like, all right, Terry from Buffalo. Right, and so he calls, and Mike's, you know, takes the call, and Mike is like, okay, Terry, listen, I got to cut you off. I got to get to break. We got to get out of here. Thank you. Hangs up on him. Whatever, right? And mid-sentence. I mean, he's mid-sentence talking about something. He's like, Terry, I got to hang up on you. Bye. This has been The Hobby. It's been a pleasure. Good night, right? All of a sudden, bing, 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 bing. All of a sudden, I've got 5 lines on my phone. First one, hello, this is WGR. Kevin Sylvester, do you know who you just hung up on? I was like, whoa, no, I don't know. What do you mean? He's like, you just hung up on Terry. I was like, I didn't hang up on anyone, by the way. Next call, Andrew Peters, do you know who you just hung up on? I'm like, I didn't hang up on anybody. So like,
I didn't do this.
Literally, I had, and this is my first fucking shift producing. Mike's already gone. He's out the door. Nate, okay, I'll see you later. He's out the door, and I'm dealing with the backlash of this whole thing. So
oh
I just want to say, for those of you who have ever had to call in, and if you have a producer, say, listen, I'm not putting you on, or yeah, sure, whatever, the do not put on, it's,
you know, it's in moments like that where I wish I had been more veteran in the radio industry to know that I was in mid-conversation. I was like, yeah, Terry from Buffalo. What do you want to talk about, Terry? Yeah, I just want to talk about a card that I used to get when I was a kid. I was like, yeah, sure, whatever, Terry. We'll put you on, right? Like, and that is sometimes the radio biz. So you're welcome for that gold. First shift. First one. The first hour of my first shift, Terry Pegula calls in. Yeah, all right, Terry. Thanks. We appreciate it. All right. Let's go, Terry. Holy hell. Get to the point.
Terry Pegula later pays a guy to have him killed.
Oh, God.
Dude, it would...
Jesus, Terry. All right, man. Always have the worst callers, right? This is the worst call.
So, but this is it. Fans call the radio station. Fans have feelings. Fans are very vocal about what they think. And everyone believes, as I think our GM and head coach believe, that wide receiver is a need.
It's true. It is.
And then also there's this thing about type that comes under contention. And so what I think is interesting, like, first of all, you look at their top 30 visits of the wide receivers they brought in. Troy Franklin, Xavier Worthy, Keon Coleman, Tez Walker, Ryan Flourney, which is interesting because he's that, like, fifth, sixth round guy who has all the measurables but none of the – I mean, he's a small school guy, none of the production. Tez Walker, day two guy.
North Carolina.
6'2" guy. Sounds an awful lot like a shorter Gabe Davis. Like, hey, I have some explosives. I have some things I can do well. Concentration drops. Bang. Keon Coleman. Seems like a really slow, wide, almost like borderline.
Plays fast, though. Plays fast.
But plays fast. Okay.
His game speed, the 40 time doesn't, I think, encapsulate the player, the explosiveness.
They bring in Xavier Worthy, who's supposed to be a middle day one prospect.
Who is moving, by the way, moving up boards.
Of course he is.
Significantly.
4.21 speed.
Yeah, well, you know.
But a frame that might limit where you can play him.
Darius Hayward Bay all over again.
Troy Franklin, a slightly heavier, I don't know,
heavier?
Slower Xavier Worthy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was gonna say, the only person he could be heavier than is
Xavier Worthy.
That's it. Roscoe Parrish, maybe.
Thin, hyper-fast wide receivers with physicality, like, notwithstanding, are okay prospects.
Yeah, they're fine.
They're fine. They're not perfect. They're going to rely on a scheme that will allow them to do what they do. How about this? The Keon Coleman, Tez Walker, Ryan Flourney. Like, that's interesting because those are NFL frames. It's just that those aren't the names that you were hoping the Bills would be bringing in to kind of take a look at. And there's been no conversation about the big three, whether it's the combine, whether it's
of course there's no conversation about the big three.
Pro days. And Von Miller did tweet about it.
He did.
So we know.
Might as well take it right off the board. Like, might as well take a
shoot
right
that idea
off
the board. In the face.
Yep.
Now, there's a couple different camps among fans, and I'm hoping the Bills are, and I want to pick your brain on each of them. First of all, the trade up for a quote unquote premier talent.
Nope. You want me to sell you on it?
Well, no. What I want to do is tell the Watkins story. I'm in my shitty 700 square foot apartment, and I have 15 people in there.
Jeez.
Do you know how hard it is to get 15 people?
Especially with one of you.
Yeah.
And 14 other people.
Because I pace and I stalk
and you
and
sweat.
I sweat. Yeah.
Sweat.
So,
and swear.
So the draft.
And you're vile.
So the draft is happening and I hear from the other room that the Bills have just traded up for a pick and I go, well, it must be for Khalil Mack. Because that's the only prospect in this draft worth trading up for. And instead they take Sammy Watkins in a class with Mike Evans, OBJ. Yeah. And so
Kelvin Benjamin.
Kelvin Benjamin.
Don't you forget it, brother.
Don't you forget that guy. So First of all, Arakpo, Mack, this team loves to fuck me on pass rushers. They love to just, hey, there's a pass rusher. We have an opportunity to get him. Well, nah, fuck you. You don't deserve it.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. You don't deserve it, Drew Gear.
But, you know, they did take care of you when they drafted Marcell Dareus. And what's the one with the knee? Reggie Ragland. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. Marcell Dareus was great right up until he made his money. And then
Drew lost his mind when we took Ragland.
I thought Ragland was the truth. He was. It was him.
And if
and
there
Ryan
isn't
Mallett.
Any other example of him, he should have his credentials stripped from him permanently.
Yeah, 100%.
It's being excited about the Ragland pick.
Well, so, we know how much the Bills love content creators.
So now, to your point.
What's up?
Yeah. Earlier today on the radio, I came in here expecting you to sell me on the idea of trading up for O'Duns. Or Dunes, whatever the fuck. I don't care.
Dunze.
I don't care how you say it because
O'Duns.
O'Duns. Torrin Cyrus.
Oh, my God.
Nabe Geary. Geary will live in infamy.
I actually, so, you know how people call me Nick? Like, people have been like, yo, Nick. Like, they call in, hey, Nick, how are you? Somebody in my full-time job the other day emailed me after several emails of calling me Nate in the header. I'm saying seven emails back and forth. Hey, Nick, just waiting for you to send out. I know that's not your autocorrect. You straight up called me Nick after calling me Nate for seven emails.
That was a choice.
It's one of those things. It's like those narcissists that like purposely say your name wrong. They're like, yo, what's up? What's up, Darren?
How do I get your...
Hey,
yeah,
Darren.
It's almost like when...
at least you don't mind with booze.
Well, no, when somebody calls in for your this is with your favorite national radio host, when somebody calls in and goes, oh, hey, Travis. Oh, no, my first name is Clay.
Yeah, my first name's Clay.
You said Clay. My favorite?
Yeah.
Listen to Clay Travis?
100%.
Why?
Yeah.
What makes you think I wouldn't
that
listen to
that? Dude fucking sucks.
Dude, we could
Why
do a whole...
Why wouldn't I?
Dude sucks. He's like... He is wrong more than me, except he genuinely believes he's right.
I love that we could do a whole podcast, just this, the two of them screaming at each other about Clay Travis.
Clay Travis? Do you really like Jason Whitlock, too?
Guys, the Rock Power Report still waters run deep over here. So with that.
Fucking Clay Travis, give me a break.
So I love it now that you're fired up. The idea of trading up at the... in the first round has been in vogue amongst Bills fans for months,
Clay
ever since the season
Travis.
Ended. Now here's the question. Talk us all off the ledge.
First of all, give me a fucking beer, and then I'll consider.
My man.
Fucking Clay Travis.
Dude,
I told
you.
Give me another one. It's going to be all twisted
I told
up.
You that I made an old-fashioned with... Yes. My wife's tears.
We converted.
With leftist tears.
I know that, but...
Why wouldn't you think I listened to Clay Travis?
Because I just assumed you had better taste in sports.
I listened to you. I listened to Clay Travis.
It's all fuck you, Chris! You listen to me and Clay Travis? That's what I'm saying. I really listen to Jesus and Judas.
Yeah, I listen to...
listen to you and Clay Travis.
I listen to the best.
It's...
I listen to you and Clay Travis. God.
All right. So, back to the first round trade up. I want you to talk about why you don't like it, because here's what I'll say. For me, I'm cheap.
I've known that since the moment I met you. Yeah.
Look, this shirt I'm wearing right now.
Right.
My mom gave it to me. It was an $8 purchase from Gabe's.
I would have thought Fanatics.
Yeah. No. $8 purchase, $8.99 from Gabe's. I don't care.
I gave her 10.
I don't care. What I know is I don't like spending more to get something that I could get on a bargain later, or I could get the Walmart version of later. And when it comes to football, I find that, like, yes, stars will win you a Super Bowl. Sometimes. And at the same time,
science is a liar.
Sometimes. Sometimes you could be the San Francisco 49ers who trade for a Christian McCaffrey and give him a bunch of money, and you could give him Nick Bosa a bunch of money. And you could go out there and have a Brandon Ayuk, and you could say, you know what? We have the best team in the NFL. And you go, we don't need to invest in a ton. We'll put a bunch of assets into the defense. We don't need to pay the wide receiver position, right? We don't need to do that.
Hmm.
You did with Debo, but otherwise, we don't want to do it with Ayuk. The reason why we're flirting with this whole trade scenario, it's because we believe that we can make it up in the aggregate. And yet, what did the Super Bowl prove? They're wrong.
That science is a liar sometimes.
They didn't have the quarterback. Now, when you have the quarterback that the Chiefs do, yes, you can make up.
What was the score of that game?
Yeah, and look at the score of that game.
It was.
I don't want to turn this into me
defending Brock Purdy, but for fuck's sake, you're going to try to. What are you, Clay Travis?
No, what I'm defending is you have a coach who doesn't know how to run the goddamn ball after you paid a guy to do that.
Fucking Clay Travis. All right, listen. Nobody listens to this show to hear you talk. Here, I'll take over from here. I'll take over from here. Listen. Listen, Clay. The bargain bin. I mean, you're going too far.
I buy discount meat.
You're going right. Have you ever had discount ribs? Have you ever gone to Aldi? Listen, Aldi's got some good meat. They don't have good baby back ribs.
Can I tell a story here?
Sure.
So a couple years ago, I've never had ribs since. We did a Memorial Day cookout at Mike Collins' house. Friend of Drew's, friend of mine.
Friend of the program.
Yeah.
Sure.
Drew did ribs there. I didn't have...
How'd you cook them?
Well, I puked over the ribs. And Drew likes to claim that it's, oh, you had too much to drink. No, I didn't.
Because I
drove home. I made it home successfully.
It is not the ribs. By the way, that's not a test for
that. That's what I'm saying.
Second of all.
That's why I'm not allowing
in defense,
them
in defense
test.
Of him, in defense of Chris, is I know for a fact that he has probably never thrown up because of alcohol in his life.
Oh, no.
Nate, I'd like to tell you that one time, like, this is, so when I got divorced the first
time.
We're
getting off the wide receiver train.
I know. Well,
the first time?
So when I got divorced.
When you got divorced the only time.
Yeah. There was a time where NFL season, every wild card, division, championship game, I'm at Drew's each weekend.
Yeah, that's a problem.
But also every weekend, there's one weekend where I have way too much to drink and I throw up. I left Drew's house with too much to drink. Nobody stopped me because I'm not liked. I made it home to my apartment in South Buffalo.
Oh, I remember that place. That was a thing of beauty.
I couldn't get to the... So you remember from walking into my old apartment...
Yeah.
To where the bathroom
Welcome
is.
To the old
yeah.
apartment.
To where the bathroom
that
is.
That was the old apartment.
I couldn't make it to the bathroom fast enough. I took my hoodie off.
And puked into the hoodie?
And I puked into the hood.
But that's how I know... That's how I know he's the kind of guy that doesn't puke a lot. Because he's got a plan if he does. He even mid blackout or brownout in this case, he knew that there's no way I'm cleaning this puke up. I'm going to puke in the hoodie, in the hood of my hoodie. Let me just say this.
I don't have
How did you
hoodie
could
anymore.
You smoke them? Did you grill them?
Smoked.
Was it overly smoky?
I have no
I think that's
no
it.
Idea.
I did it with the mesquite chips and I did a lot of like cuz they were definitely food safe and he's the only one who got sick.
Definitely food safe. When someone has to say that by the way, these are definitely food safe. That means that they're probably borderline.
Pork goes 145 but for
what,
ribs
what are we
you
talking about
to,
tenderness?
But for ribs you want
scale.
To ribs
were these
you
rubber?
Have to take
I don't even remember.
Did you break from bone? Did they leave the
ribs
bone?
Ribs you have to take to like 180.
Don't tell me about smoking. Don't tell me how to do my inhalants. I know how to do my inhalants.
You know more than me. I'd love to see this.
Listen, I could sing better and I can make better ribs.
Oh, shit. You're setting the table for a whole summer of you getting embarrassed. In any event, back to wide receivers. Trading up to that top 10. Chris, we had some interesting audio today on that topic from Buffalo Bills GM Brandon Bean.
I can't really tell you whether we go up, go back, or draft at 28. I have no idea how it's going
to
fall.
Yeah, there's no rule. I can call all the way to 1, John. Think they'll take my call?
No. No, they won't. They won't take his call. Just like I wouldn't take Clay Travis's call.
So the idea that the Bills can just, hey, well, Madden says I can give a first next year and I can do this and that. Chris, did he also talk about that today?
No, did he?
Like, didn't he also talk about the idea that he hates, like, he would consider trading next year's first, but he doesn't like it?
I mean, I'm never going to say no. I don't love trading future ones. You know, if you go back to when I got here, what we were trying to do, knowing that we were most likely going to be in the quarterback market if we found the right guy, was creating assets to not have to trade the next year's one. And so if it makes sense, John, I'll do it. But I don't love it.
Now, Chris, BuffaloBills.com.
Yep.
Brandon Bean. Presser, go find the full audio for yourself. But when you hear a GM say things like this, he's setting the table to try to let everybody know, hey, don't come crucify me, or don't come with your lit torches.
Don't come with your leftists, apologist takes.
Don't come over here attacking me when the draft ends and the thing that you all thought needed to happen didn't happen. The idea that a future one is worth a wide receiver in this draft class, if you were going to do it, who would you do it for?
The top three, either any of the top three.
Is there one you like in particular?
I heard specifically from Tex, Roma Dunes.
Roma Dunes.
Yeah.
That's how you say it in North Collins.
O'Dunes.
I have the text message. You said it to me.
Yeah, did I said it in a voice to text?
No, text.
So what I'll say is this. Everyone needs to kind of forget this, don't they?
Forget what?
The idea that we're going to trade up into pick 9. In fact, you probably have to get ahead of the Bears, which makes it pick 8. You know, I've been talking to EJ Snyder, Bootleg Football. He's been saying that the Bears, kind of the way they've been positioning themselves, would love nothing more than to draft Caleb Williams and then also pair him with Roma Dunes or a Dunes or whatever the fuck you want to call him. Won't be my problem because I won't have to say his name. You'd have to trade up into 8 or 7. Now, that's what we did when we drafted Josh Allen. And do you remember what we had to do to get there, Nate? It was trading Jason Peters for an extra pick, then packaging those picks, moving our own pick into 12, and then from 12...
Jason Peters?
Or not Jason Peters, Jesus Christ.
Cordy Glenn. Act like you... Buddy,
why don't you
mix in a fucking water?
For fuck's sake. I like how you're the one telling me this.
Mix in a fucking water, would you?
I like how you're the one telling me this after you got mad over Clay Travis. So...
Fucking Clay Travis.
So
I'm
Cordy.
Gonna go, I'm gonna go. You know what?
Cordy Glenn.
Me and
gets
Chris's wife are gonna start our own podcast.
Cordy
leftist tears.
Do you need a producer?
So Cordy Glenn gets traded, and that's how the Bills pave their way to getting to 12. And then they're like, "Well, we're in striking distance of a quarterback, but we still have to give up more." That's what
it was a classic. But wait, there's more.
That's what it takes to get to that level of the draft. And I don't think that, like, and that's that if you go and listen to Brandon Bean's presser from today, you will walk away with an appreciation for how hard it is to move around the board. Because he doesn't belabor it, but he talks about it. And he goes, listen, it's a lot. you have to shift things. There's assets involved. And then sometimes there's ancillary assets involved. And then now you're stuck. You've traded up to get one guy. And if it doesn't seem like you're going to get him or somebody else takes him, now where are you? Something happens that's off script from what you think is going to happen, and you're stuck. You traded all the way up to number 8, and it turns out all 3 wide receivers go in the top 6 picks. Now what? You're in the top 8 for nothing. That doesn't strike you as a pragmatic move, does it?
No.
No. And our GM is painfully pragmatic, but it's what makes him good at his job. So with that in mind, there's the other alternative, which is standing pat and maybe a double dip in the top 90. Now, he made comments in this same press conference, which you can go find over at BuffaloBills.com. There's, look, I'm one of those people who doesn't have a stomach for a big swing. I don't want to invest heavily. Like, the Josh Allen thing to me was lunacy. It panned out. I don't want to be on that roller coaster emotionally again.
Reminds me of Sammy Watkins, if we're looking to...
Yeah.
It brings back bad memories for me, if we're going to look to trade up for some... Because, you know, we couldn't have... We could have just stayed pat and taken biscuits.
So I want to do
it... At our original spot.
But what I want to do with Nate is an exercise. I'm going to give you some names to illustrate the point that I want to make about standing pat where you are and just trying to double dip in the top 90.
So you're talking about planting your feet in the ground, drawing a line in the sand, and saying, I'm going to stay here regardless of what Clay Travis says.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Regardless of what Clay Travis says. Now, maybe you make a Dalton Kincaid-esque move.
Move up a couple spots.
A couple spots, maybe... But when you look at this
draft class, that's not a thing. That's not. I don't think a couple of spots is anything. I think if you're going to move up a couple spots, stay at 28.
And so this is where I want to illustrate my point. Going back year by year over the draft, what the Bills have the ability to do based on where they were drafted and who was taken, it would be the equivalent of last year adding Tank Dell and Jordan Addison. Now, did you notice I just said Addison?
Yeah, I know, buddy. The Nate Geary old fashioned is really getting.
Yeah, it really
again, buddy. Mix in a fucking water.
Christian Watson and George Pickens. If you had those two picks in 2022, tell me you wouldn't have thought that was a great haul at wide receiver. Now, looking back at it in retro, day one you would have been probably irritated because you go, I don't know either one of these guys, but you would have been thankful now. For who they are as pros. 2021's equivalent would have been Rashad Bateman and Nico Collins. Now, that's weak, but still... Oh, jeez.
Get that off of my fucking screen!
Yeah.
Wait, scroll up.
Yeah.
Scroll up.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Nate, this is...
I'm done! I'm fucking done! That fucking fedora... Oh my God.
I think you should leave memes.
Yes.
Is the best. God. I follow it, and Nate, he usually unfollows all the things I do. He's got to leave that one because that's a great handle. So
you got to share that screen during the process of this podcast so people can see that one.
So 2020, Brandon Ayuk or Michael Pittman and Gabe Davis. Imagine if we had taken both one of them late in the first. And then, or early, like they were both early second round picks, or Michael Pittman was. Imagine being able to say, I'm going to take one of these guys and one of these guys later. And you walk away with that duo. Deebo Samuel and DK Metcalf, if you're talking about 2019, where the Bills just sit and are. I look at the number of wide receivers that are available 60 through 90. It's conceivable that you might be looking at the Bills having the ability to land a player who has a great floor right now, can come in and contribute, and then also adding another wide receiver in the next round or two that also has a really good floor, and they both have decent ceilings. As long as you don't do anything crazy... You can double dip and you can do these things. And Brandon Bean said something during his press conference today that really made me think this might be their thought process. They asked him what they were looking for, and he goes, well, early on in his career, Josh, because someone asked about Steph Diggs after the trade, what Josh needed, and he was like, yeah, I think that earlier in his career, Josh needed that guy. He needed someone so that he could learn the confidence to go out there and learn how to be a quarterback. But now when you've become the quarterback that Josh is, you don't necessarily need just that one guy. You just need guys who play to their skill set.
Mm.
So if your skill set says you should be able to win 50-50 balls, then Josh just needs to trust that you can win 50-50 balls and you go out there and execute. If you're the guy who can get rack, then you're the guy who goes out there and when Josh finds you, you get rack.
Pop it up.
And so when he's talking about not needing a traditional wide receiver one, it makes me think that this might be the draft approach, right? Like,
yeah,
it's not hard to consider when you look at all of these corollaries I just gave, all of the names I just went through year over year, who you could have double dipped on if you had done what the Bills are talking about doing right now. You could be talking about a draft class that looks like A.D. Mitchell and Jermaine Burton. Would you consider that a win?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I would... Listen, can I tell you what I consider a win is when I look back? I'm going to use Marv Levy.
Oh, boy. Wait, whoa. Marv Levy coach, Levy GM?
I would like to quote Marv Levy, the coach.
Okay.
Is you can judge your draft class going into the third year. I don't know what a win looks like. I'm going to tell you what. On Monday morning, on Friday morning, I'm not going to know whether or not whomever, whatever they did is a win or it's not a win. Sure. And that is why I think the conversations around you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to take a receiver in the first round, you need to trade up, you need to pick, regardless of how many receivers have been taken, take someone at 28.
That's the problem.
Is, to me, a flawed process. It is a bad process. It goes against everything we know about the NFL draft and what good general managers and what smart prognosticators and what great draft people know, which is you don't draft for need. You draft based on how the board falls. Yes. And if A.D. Mitchell's, you know, at 28 for you and you stay there, I don't know. I don't have to think of A.D. Mitchell.
It's rough.
Now, and I don't. He does not.
The article over at golongtd.com with scouts talking about diabetes. But it starts before that because people go, he's lazy in his routes. He doesn't do this. He's
not a blocker.
And then everyone goes, well, yeah, but it's all because of his diabetes. And if you manage it.
Or as they would say on the commercial, diabetes.
Diabetes.
Or how they would say, what do they normally say on Fox News? Doesn't exist.
Yeah, Chris would know that one.
That phony Fauci disease.
So.
Or as Aaron Rodgers would say, created by Fauci.
So. I look at this and I say to myself, here's a guy who's being beleaguered by the draft process.
Yeah.
The draft process is crushing this guy. Now, does it mean he'll be a bad pro? We don't know.
Do you know who else the draft process crushed?
Nobody knows.
DK Metcalf.
I know, and that's the problem.
So again, and this is
that last one, Deebo Samuel and DK Metcalf in 2019. If you had where we were picking, and then also had our third round pick, you could have selected both of those players or Deontay Johnson if you weren't into that.
Good players.
The draft process crushes some guys. And so at a in a draft where there's going to be, I don't think this is going to be a hot take, a record number of wide receivers taken in the first
two
rounds.
A lot of receivers, yeah.
But with that said, the fit is what matters. And so does your team have the right culture, the right structure to help that guy? Some teams might look at A.D. Mitchell's problems and go, that's not – We don't want that headache. You might think, hey, we have a culture that we think we can bring this guy under the tent. We can get him the help he needs. Yeah, if he needs a personal assistant, fuck it. We'll get it. Because we like to support our guys. Then maybe you're a team who's in on him, who's high on him, who might trade up a couple spots to draft him. Either way, here are the duos you could put together conceivably from just staying pat and where the Bills are. Ladd McConkey and Tez Walker, Xavier Worthy and Xavier Leggett. Like, if that were to happen, do we have to get, like, a DMX themed, like...
X gonna give it to
you. X gonna give it to you.
Bomb's gonna give it to you.
Although, you know what? He'd be canceled today in a heartbeat. I love how they forgot about DMX. Like, luckily he...
What, because the woke media?
The woke media.
The woke mind virus?
The woke mind virus. I love how, Chris, it's always nice having Nate in studio to be like a counterbalance to you.
100%.
Someone needs a leftist hero.
He's stretching over here, getting ready. Ultimately, you'd be fleshing out the weakest position group on the roster without giving up other assets because we have needs. You know, we just got done talking to Bruce Nolan about safety and how it's like, look, the sweet spot's second, third.
Get off fucking Twitter. I'm sick of seeing I think you should leave memes that are this good. For fuck's sake.
So Mark is going to hate that. He hates that show. What I do know,
Mark,
is that
who cares?
We've talked about this concept of fit and scheme. You have the ability to not have to reach. You don't have to give up future assets. You can have a rich draft next year. And you can sit here and just take players. Jermaine Burton, watching him play at Alabama.
Oh, here we go.
All I'll say is...
What's his off-the-field problems? What's he do?
Where does he go?
Why he's falling in the draft because there's some concerns about his character?
Sure.
What are those concerns? I don't know. I'm asking you. I really don't know.
You'll have to Google it. I'm not willing to speak on the man's name.
Here we go.
Yeah, here we go.
Let me ask you a hypothetical question.
Sure.
Do you subscribe to the idea that you like a player? And let me use the EJ Manuel pick.
Okay.
You really like a player. And you don't think that where you're standing, you should take him. And you know for a fact that if you move back a couple of picks, grab some more assets, you could still have the player you want, and also have it's also you can have your cake and you can eat it too.
But here's where I feel about that. I feel like if you like a guy,
just take him.
You take him because ultimately.
But what if I can tell you that not there's no guarantees in life in anything.
Exactly.
But what if I could tell you that the Bills love Xavier Leggett, like that's their guy, and sure. They could say if they're going to field as many calls as they can at 28 to say we have Leggett above A.D. Mitchell, we have Leggett above McConkey, we have Leggett as a guy. If we're sitting at 28, we're just gonna fucking take him. But we know that if we drop back to 40, we can still have him.
And so this is the other side of this coin: is do you stand pat?
So let me ask the Jeremy Whites of the world who say just fucking take him at 28, right? Like just take him, right?
For the sake of doing it,
just do it at 28. What if you could get a third and Leggett?
If you're committed to the concept, that you're doing what we just talked about, which is, hey, I'm going to double dip throughout this draft.
I don't know one of these.
Of course you can. No, no, sir. You drove all the way over here.
My trainer said these are empty calories, Geary.
Wait, you have a trainer?
Yeah, dude. A mental and physical trainer.
Were you a physical trainer?
You could have a Kolsch if you want to.
I'm not going to lie.
I know. I'm just into these. I don't know
I'm not going to lie to you. You have a physical trainer, but you have Grinch bod. Like, you look, your physique is that of the Grinch who stole Christmas.
Says you, Mr. fucking Denim.
Yeah, Denim. Yeah, but also.
Guy's wearing a fucking Denim suit, casting shade on me.
So what
else? Guy looks like a sequoia tree.
What I'll say is this. You're going to look at this. No matter how it falls, people are going to be angry. Whether you traded up, stood pat, traded back. There will be people who are frustrated with your approach. Realistically, in this class, I see too many talented players in the top 60 to not try to grab two. So trading up seems like a fool's errand. You could go get a Ja'Marr Chase, but what if you could set your wide receiver room up for the next 4 years by just drafting two players? And just standing where you are.
What if those players don't end up being anywhere as good as Ja'Marr Chase?
That's fine, because you're hoping your quarterback, who you paid millions
okay, well,
of dollars, can make up for
it. Different conversation here, though. So let me tell you
and
what you
this,
were saying.
Yeah.
Let me say this: is you're subscribing to what the Kansas City Chiefs have
yes.
believed that they can be, except for the fact that instead of paying and then trading and eating all the dead cap on Tyreek Hill, they traded him and said, we're good. Mm-hmm. The Bills signed, extended, and paid Stephon Diggs, then traded him, and now are sitting in a position where they don't have a Sky Moore, who, good or not, they don't have him. They did not trade for Kadarius Toney, good or not. They didn't draft Rashee Rice. Now they're sitting in a position where they owe Stephon Diggs $30 million, and now they have to try to find his immediate replacement. And to me, this is, again, they are a prisoner of themselves. They're a prisoner of their
sure.
own decisions by
100%.
Not addressing this sooner and having people in place. However, what I will say is what you're suggesting is quantity over quality.
Yes.
You're suggesting give me more lottery tickets than the one that I
yes.
think is probably the right lottery ticket number.
Give me, because I'll tell you what, I've seen how that movie ends. When you go up and you get the guy that you're going, you go, oh man, he's amazing.
I'm going to bet Scotty Scheffler at plus 100, or I could bet four guys and equal plus 900 and win, except.
Okay. All right.
Right?
All right.
Right?
All right.
Right?
Okay.
And in a way, I'm still on your side. But I'm just trying to the picture here, it's never as black and white as just take the guy at 20, even if you have a second round grade on him. It's never as black and white as, well, just trade back and go to 40 because you'll still get him and you'll get a third round pick. It's never as black and white as we all, as simple as we all make it. But what I will say, that is the point, is there is no just take a guy at 28. There is no just trade back, get yourself a third round pick, and then still get the same player that you want. I think everyone needs to be more open to there being other ways than the way you want to think this thing's going to happen. This is such a complex, this is such a interesting, and you don't have to tell people they don't know ball because they don't agree with your take on this. There are so many ways the Bills can make themselves better. And can I tell you that if the Bills decided at 28 to take a center from Oregon or to take a corner from Alabama and then find themselves in a position at 60 and say, we really like this guy at 60. We don't think he's going to make it there, so we're going to move up to 45 and we're going to get our guy and we're going to use one of our fourths this year and maybe a second next year. We're going to do something. We're going to move up. And the Bills end up with two starters, good plus starters.
It's a successful draft.
Right.
It's a successful draft.
You might be mad about it right now before it happens, but guess what all you Kool-Aid fucking drinkers are going to do? You're going to tell me, Nate, but this guy. Okay? That's all I'm... Whatever the Bills do, you guys are going to be down for. And even if you pretend to be angry about a scenario right now, today, a week before the draft, you're not going to be angry when it happens. You're going to sell yourself like I sell anything else. Like, you sell anything else. We're all going to sell ourselves that it's a great idea and the Bills did great. Regardless, unless the Bills take, you know, Michael Penix Jr. or the third, whatever he is, the third, the second. Unless,
how, with that name, how is he the third?
There's multiple penises.
That's wild. It's wild that with that last name, you'd want to be accentuated with a number.
Anyways, my point is, short of taking a quarterback, you will be down. If the Bills decide Friday morning, you might call into GR and, you know, Andy Kaufman might be freaking out about it and, you know, on his wide receiver train. And I might say, well, you know, when they pick their wide receiver in the second round and they go into training camp and they've got two bona fide starters at positions they've gotten better at, or at least the same at wide receiver, I don't know, you're going to get better, but maybe you get the same or slightly worse. Everyone's going to be happy. You're going to be happy probably regardless. So accept the fact that there is no golden ticket. There is no direct key. There is no exact science to what the Bills, what you are going to do, what mock draft is going to show, whether you know or don't know football. At the end of the day, the Bills are going to draft two players probably in the first and second round. And it, however they figure out, if they can find a way to get two starters out of that, whether it's a first round wide receiver, a second round safety, a first round offensive lineman, and a second round wide receiver, a first round cornerback, and a second round wide receiver, if they can find two starters in this draft, it will go a long way for this team to figure out how to be better. And how about this? If they can find a way to have three starters in the first 2 days, then everyone will be super happy that they now have three positions that they've now settled. Exactly. Instead of just two or just exactly. one. And if the Bills decide they want to trade up for Malik Nabers at the number 9 pick, at the number My 8 man. Pick, you will say, wow, they traded a lot, but holy cow, we've got this great receiver, and now I'm super excited he's going to be better than Stephon Diggs. Oh my God, is Julio Jones trade all over again? Who fucking cares? And then you'll be like, I don't care that they traded a second and a first next year and a second next year and a fourth and a fifth and a seventh. Who cares? But at the end of the day, if they don't do that, you'll also be cool. You're all going to be cool regardless of what happens. Stop selling yourself any other scenario. You're all going to eat it. I'm going to sell it. You're going to buy it. You're going to sell it. I'm going to sell it. Drew's going to buy it. Chris is going to sell it. And Clay Travis is going to sit on it.
That's why they bring me on.
And that was an all-timer. That was perfect.
It sounds like you just talked about Clay Travis's new coffee company.
No, I thought he made adult toys. For men. The straight way to get off.
Realistically, there are a lot of options for the Bills in the draft. Wide receiver is the hot button topic among the fan base. But there are so many options. Ryan Flournoy is the most interesting one out of every one of these visits to me. You want to know why? Because he's a small school kid, probably going to be a late round pick, but he's got an NFL frame.
Did he wrestle?
No, but he's got a solid RAS score. You look at it and you go, oh, could this be the next Khalil Shakir that they get in like the fourth or fifth round where everyone's done with the wide receiver run and now everyone's focusing on other positions? And they go, well, here's this guy that we've been on since day one. We think he could be a wide receiver 3, maybe wide receiver 2 in the NFL. If not, a great special teamer. He's a gunner because he's fast and he's big and he's physical. They're thinking ahead of this. They're doing the more cerebral work that we as fans are not doing. So for everybody out there who screams about the wide receiver position, I love that Brandon Bean was asked so much today about that position. And the fact that he was joking and laughing about it. He seems loose, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He seems loose. I like that because it tells me he's got a plan. Or at least he's not bothered by the volatility of the wide receiver market.
That's like Kevin Adams, you know? I got a plan.
Well, yeah. But I think one of them has proven they actually are good at their jobs. One of them.
Maybe. Can I ask you a question just as a producer and host of a show?
Before we close the show, sure.
That's what I was going to ask. How close are we to closing the show? Because I have a hot take
right
that I'd
here.
Like to...
We're right
I want to end on it.
So let's end on it.
Slightly over an hour.
Let's end
I've got 2 hours in me.
I know, but let's end this on your hot take.
All right, the Bills should take Cooper DeJean at 28.
And so we just had this conversation with Bruce Nolan.
And what did Bruce say? Probably something pretty similar, right? Because he's
Bruce
a smart guy.
Bruce said that, and this is Bruce. I don't want to try to quote him.
Hi, Bruce.
I can't. Well, first of all, I'd have to start off talking like Batman. Well, first off, I don't want to.
This is where Drew tells you he doesn't remember what Bruce said.
No.
The dogs are in the other room. I just don't want. I don't want to wake the dogs. My wife's sleeping.
The idea is Cooper DeJean, when he got.
Oh, wait, question.
DeJean.
If he comes here and he pulls the Tyrod Terod thing,
I'll fucking
kill that guy. I am going to call him
Tyrod.
DeJean.
I'm going to call him DeJean like mustard.
Great Palpin.
So,
Jason Peters apparently is who the Bills traded for Josh Allen, by the way.
He was a safety. And then Iowa was like, oh shit, you're athletic enough to be a cornerback. And they made him a corner. At the next level, he could be your Swiss Army knife.
The Bills really need a weapon.
Well, this is it.
And whether it's offense or defense, I don't give a shit.
Now, here's the question.
Give me Jason Sehorn light.
Will you be upset?
No.
If they use the first round pick on a defensive option?
I will not be upset. Again, the only way I will be upset if the Bills take a quarterback. It's the only way I'll be upset.
All right.
They couldn't disappoint me unless they took a left tackle.
I think the hard part for fans to wrap their heads around is that this team is one in transition.
I think the thing that fans have a hard time wrapping their heads around is that we're all sucking on the teat of the NFL. And again, we're going to sell it. They're going to sell it. We're going to buy it. The sooner you can just accept the fact that you are going to be down for whatever they do, the more, just the happier you'll be. You buy a little, Q42. Make yourself some fucking ribs. Because it's delicious. The coffee rub is special, by the way. It's how the KC barbecue is how I would make my ribs that will beat Drew's. He'll use the same ingredients, and I will fuck him up. And regardless of whether or not they take a safety, a corner, there's middle linebacker, quarterback, left tackle, kicker, punter, long snapper. That's it. There's five positions that I will lose my fucking mind over. The rest, we're going to be,
we're going to be writing articles. You guys are going to have podcasts. I'm going to write an article and be like, the Bills are so smart. They're like, they're 21st century mans
because they drafted somebody and we're all going to be like, oh, bro. Oh, he's so good. He's amazing. You know, because that's what we do because we're suckers, and regardless of what happens, you're going to be into it. So stop being so dramatic and confrontational about what they're going to do because we don't know what they're going to do. But when they do it, we're going to buy it and we're going to love it.
I don't know about that. EJ Manuel, when we drafted him, I wrote a fan post that got Brian Gallifrey.
Did it win a James Beard Award?
It's the only interaction I've ever had with Brian Gallifrey. He reached out to me to let me know that my fan post had more interaction than most, than anything else on the website that week. And it was when you could go to SB Nation, go to BuffaloRumblings.com, and just make a fan article, and people could read it. And mine was about how I was at a bar that night, and I've never been in a room where the air came out of it and it just emptied out as fast as when the Bills drafted EJ Manuel. And so in that way, you're talking about no matter what we do, everyone will buy it. I watch what happens and everyone goes, okay, well, this is just another one of those choices. And all of the people who are kind of fringe, who aren't in it like we are.
Sure.
Go... Well, I was kind of getting on board, and now I see it's trending back towards that way, so I guess I'll just leave.
Do you guys want one more story before we leave?
And so it's just, so I wrote an article about how E.J. Manuel was the equivalent of going to a steakhouse and ordering a bologna sandwich.
Or going to Denny's and ordering a bologna sandwich.
Same concept.
Sure.
But it was a fried bologna sandwich from a steakhouse. And everyone loved it. Good. And sure enough, yeah. E.J. Manuel was the, hey, we drafted a first-round quarterback. It just turns out you used that capital on a player that was undeserving of that selection. But quarterback is the one that matters. Now that we have that figured out, wide receiver is kind of like, these are all satellite positions.
Mm-hmm.
You figured out the one that matters.
What draft is that? 2012? 13?
I don't know. I was drunk at Tony Rome's.
I was young.
That's all I know.
Ah, where we met.
You guys met at Tony Rome's?
Yes.
Classic sex story. let me tell you this quick story, and then we can be done. So I told you a great Terry Pegula story. Let me tell you a great Buddy Nick story. So Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday draft. Sunday, I was in Florida. My dad and I picked up, we landed back in Buffalo Sunday evening. Landed back in Buffalo, walked through the Buffalo Niagara Airport, go to the covered parking area. We get into our car. It's me and my dad. We're going to drive around and pick up my stepmom and my sisters. And we're driving through. Now picture this for me, if you will. You're driving through the tunnel right near where the rental cars are in the Niagara Frontier Airport, right? You're driving through, and my dad goes, "Oh my God, it's Buddy Nix." I'm like, "Oh." So I rolled on the window. Buddy Nix! Buddy thinks our vehicle is his ride. He walks up to the back door, opens the door, sits down.
Yes! 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 I already love this.
And quickly realizes, this is not my ride.
No, this is not my ride.
And I go, EJ? Yeah, I'm 17. 17 years old. EJ Manuel? What's up, dog? You know, like he's like, whoa. Sorry, folks. I went into the wrong vehicle.
He foghorn leghorns his way out of the vehicle.
Sorry, folks. I walked into the wrong vehicle. Gets out, walks right back to the door. Me and my dad were like, what the fuck just happened? So
we're all gonna feel when this is done. I have a feeling
you're gonna feel like you all of a sudden generate a weird southern accent like Buddy
no
Nicks.
I just have a feeling that every Bills fan out there is gonna have a very weird feeling about this, because we've done nothing but talk about wide receiver being the thing. And just after hearing the presser today, which I urge you to all go check out at BuffaloBills.com, I get the feeling that they're going to stay the course, and they might even have something crazier planned. I don't like it, but I'm here for it.
You want the verdict?
Yeah.
This is 40 minutes ago. I sent a text message to my wife. On a scale of 1 to 10, how annoying are we? 7.5.
She can hear us upstairs.
Nothing, my leftist queen.
Yes.
Nothing makes me happier. Guys, whatever the Bills decide to do at wide receiver, they have so many options. It's incredible. And if they choose as an organization not to take advantage of it, yes, we can all rail and light torches. The reality is, hearing them talk, I think that there's a plan. I think that the idea is they're going to sink into hey, we're going to let this come to us rather than go fishing, just like they did with Dalton Kincaid, who you screamed about this idea of like, oh, two tight ends.
And how many times did they run two tight ends? Not that much.
Not that much.
No, they just put their $18 million tight end. And,
yeah.
Well, so I wasn't wrong.
It was correcting. You just said the most white girl thing I've ever heard.
I wasn't right, but also I wasn't wrong.
You just said the most white girl thing I've ever heard. The Bills have a problem to solve, and their GM seems loose about how he's going to attack it. That's all I need to know. That's it. If he's cool, I'm cool. It's almost like that diner scene in Pulp Fiction. Is that bitch cool? Tell that bitch to be cool.
Tell that bitch to be cool.
Everyone seems cool. So with that said, who am I to judge? To your point, they're gonna buy, we're gonna sell.
You gonna buy. They're gonna draft Cooper DeJean, and guess what? The best selling jersey is going to be come September.
Cooper DeJean. Guys, them's the breaks. That's the way this goes. And I'm sorry for those of you who are firmly on the wide receiver train. You'll have to hear Nate Geary spar with Jeremy White.
And then later admit how fucking right I was. So that you will buy it and slurp it up like it's fresh soup.
So you hear that over there on WGR 550. You can follow them both on social media. But for tonight, we got to get out of here. I'm Drew Geer. That's Chris Krueger. That's Nate Geary. And this has been your Rock Pile Report.
You're welcome.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.